Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Havendale.
It would be a little weird.
All right, over there.
I need some Strange Brew coffee badly.
You need a little boost.
I'm so tired. I've been so tired for like a week.
Traveling and everything else.
Drove to Texas. We had ate all that barbecue and then had to wake up at 6:45 and do the whole media day things.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, driving home, and 2 days later, I'm driving to
you
my
almost
in-laws.
Beat me home, despite the fact that I flew.
I did.
That's how delayed everything was. And
I didn't leave. So I left at like 9 o'clock. I mean,
I got up at 3:30 in the morning on Thursday.
Did you have that lift ready for
I did, 4:30 a.m. And I asked the guy, I was like, you do this all the time? He's like, yeah, this is when I'm up. I get rides all the time.
Oh yeah, people have their schedules kind of all over the place.
You know what? We'll get into that. Let's get to the raid. We'll talk a little bit about our week.
But all that to say, I'm tired, and I might actually go to Strange Brew and get something.
Get you an espresso and just wake right the hell up.
Do I want to do that? I don't know.
It's a little late. Yeah, it might.
We're recording at like almost 5 p.m. So.
Yeah. So wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew coffee each and every morning. Just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Also, speaking of Churn and Spoon, went to Churn and Spoon this weekend, and I was told this fall new flavors being rolled out.
Ooh.
So I was like, oh no.
I don't really need new flavors, but whatever.
I was like, oh no.
We'll try it out.
We'll have to try them. Oh no.
Darn.
So, Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. It's just this simple, folks. If you own a business and you're a Mississippi State fan, this is a deal you can't pass up. It's a chance to get the best printing and signs company behind you, and to make you a Bulldog Initiative business at no extra cost. Cam Baker will take care of everything if you just give him a call. 601-499-5216. Talk to him and say, heard about you on Thunder and Lightning. I want to do business with Pip Printing and Signs. You're going to get great quality service, great quality products. Best of all, 10% of your sales straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. You're now a Bulldog Initiative business, and if you were a business owner, you were already spending money on printing, you didn't spend an extra dime to do that. You can't beat that deal. Call Cam Baker, 601-499-5216. If you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, and you are looking for it. It's time to get some new gear. It's time to put that banner M. You need to retire that, and you need to move into the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. This fall, don't come to Davis Wade Stadium with an old polo. Get a new one. It's time. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Great to see Restaurant Tyler back up and running. Every time I drove past it this week, somebody was coming in and out of the door. So people are excited to have Starkville's best restaurant back open for the summer and, of course, going into this football season. If you're going to eat a great meal in Starkville, chances are it's going to be at Restaurant Tyler. So, lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, whatever the occasion, make it a great one at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and let them show you the way, not only to have a great community bank to deal with, but to have a bank that can help you manage and invest your money to benefit you for many years to come. Do you think things could be separate sometimes? You think, okay, I need a powerful financial institution, but I also want to have great service. You get both of those things at Priority One Bank. Again, the website is PriorityOneBank.com. You can see the locations, and you can see everything that they can do for you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. So, yeah, 4:30, drive to the airport, get there, long line in security, long line. That was a 30-minute ordeal getting through TSA.
Oh, yeah. It can be bad.
It was rough. Yeah. I mean, you talk about herded like cattle in there.
Yeah, those early morning flights tend to be the worst for that.
Yeah. First flight, Dallas to Houston. I still don't understand why there wasn't a direct flight Dallas to Jackson, but whatever. Dallas to Houston, not full, so Borky and I didn't have the middle seat. We had the separation. That was fine. Easy flight, too. It was like a 40-minute flight.
Yep.
When we land, they update us that our flight has been delayed. We were supposed to leave at 10:40, and we ended up leaving at 12:20. And so we arrived back in Jackson a little bit after 1. And you texted me at one point. You're like, "Hey, I'm on 25. I should be there by 5." And I'm like, "I'm on 25. I just got out of Jackson." So you're
I was on 55.
Yeah,
and I was on. And 25. You were on 25. Yeah. We had just. I was like in Canton. You
ships
were
in the night.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And huge thunderstorm in Louisville that day. So when I got into Winston County, it was pouring on me.
Yeah, it's been raining a lot.
We needed this. And then,
hey, you barely missed the whole like chaos of. I mean, I know you had the delay, but you barely missed.
The systems crashing. Yeah,
that's still screwing up.
Yeah,
like, all over.
So that, thank goodness for that. I would have lost it at that point because I think at that point, if at 12:20 they'd been like, our computers are crashing, we don't know when they're going to be back. I would have just called Will East over something like, we're renting a car.
Yeah.
And we'll be home.
My brother-in-law is going to New York, should be there by now on a mission trip, and the other like people that are in his group were on a separate plane. They flew into Atlanta and their flight got canceled, so they had to rent a car. They are driving to New York City from Atlanta, Georgia, which I think is over 13 hours. So that's going to be nice.
We'll be in Atlanta next year for SEC Media Days. They announced that, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, but you won't be driving to New York from Atlanta.
So. No, I'm just saying for this year, next year will be a lot easier.
Yeah, completely unrelated to what the story I was telling.
We're talking about SEC Media Days.
I don't want to talk about SEC Media Days.
You switch topics on me there.
I want to talk about driving to New York City.
New York to Atlanta is, that's a drive.
It's over 13 hours.
I'm trying to think what's the longest I've ever driven. Drove Starkville to Tampa. About nine, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing.
Not that bad. And then I drove Starkville to Houston, which is about 8, I believe.
I've driven to Columbus, Ohio. I've driven to Omaha.
Columbus's not that bad, is it?
It was pretty bad.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Omaha, I was with you. Yeah, we for one of those.
I've done Omaha 4 times.
Eesh. That's a good 9 hours.
But luckily, like the last one, I flew to Omaha.
I can tell you exactly how long it is to Omaha because I can just look at that playlist we put together.
Yeah, it was like
it was exact
12 hours, I think.
Yeah.
I flew to Omaha this last time mm-hmm. and then rode back with John. And on the way back, I reminded myself why I would much rather fly.
Yeah.
But
if you can get a direct flight, it's great. If you can't, it's
true. Charlottesville was a haul this year.
Yeah.
Charlottesville was anywhere we would have gone pretty much was going to be a haul. It was either like Charlottesville, East Carolina, or North Carolina State, I think, was kind of the teams. And they were all really long drives. But luckily, I had John and Stefan with me. And we were able to.
Left us.
We had like 15 bits that we played out the entire trip.
Yeah. Media Days is a wrap. I thought two things.
Are you okay?
So, full disclosure. Ready? When I took Friday off, right? And my thought process was, okay, Sunday, Robbie and I will just go after church, like he always wants to, mm-hmm. and I'll cook dinner.
And this is going to be my something's going to be
not
my
your
fault.
It's not your fault. I couldn't have known. So then you say, hey, we need to go early evening. I'm like, so I'd already bought the food. So I've kind of got the kids cooking, and then they're like texting me.
Oh,
updates.
How is that going?
That this is the first update, and we're about 9 degrees south of where we need to be because it's poultry. So,
is it on the
no? It's in the oven at this point. Okay. I did not want to let them deal
with
the grill.
Yeah, that's too much.
So I cooked a couple turkey breasts today.
Okay, just keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I put them in the oven at 250 with the butter. It's at 156. Let's say another 20 minutes should be fine. These guys are getting a real look at our life here.
They'll be fine.
All right.
Just don't burn the house
down. Yeah, the oven's fine. Yeah, they know how to cook, but it's like this is a big piece of meat.
So. Yeah.
I thought at SEC Media Days, and we talked about this a little bit, that State came in and gave themselves some credibility. I thought that Jeff Lebby and Blake Shapen especially, people were interested in what they had to say. I thought they did a good job of conveying their message. I thought that Lebby kind of did a good job of deferring or putting away. You know, people kept asking him about Kiffin, and I think by the end of it he was tired of it. But he did a good job of getting through that. John Lewis got tired of hearing about Ole Miss and decided to just put it all out there. That's fine by me. I don't care. But at the other side of the coin is this. A year ago, the predictions come out. State was picked last in the West or second to last or whatever it was. And you and I sat here and we were just like, it's ridiculous. Every year they're picked last and they never finish last. And I guess they technically didn't finish last
still
year.
Still didn't finish last.
Yeah, they were sixth. But this year, as we predicted, you know, there can be no surprise, 15th in the SEC. I had them Vandy, Arkansas, 14th. Florida. I had them 13th.
You had them behind Florida. I mean,
I had them ahead of Florida. I have Florida going 3-9.
Yeah. You have State beating Florida, too.
I do. And I have State beating Arkansas. So, but that's beside the point. 15th, the national media, that's the way they're going to go. Also, not a single player on any of the three teams, the All-SEC preseason teams. Not one. For my disclosure, I'm trying to think. I think I voted Ethan Miner, my second team center. I voted Stone Blanton, second team linebacker, but I had him like the sixth linebacker. And then I just went with Hayes Hammond as my long snapper. No offense, Hayes, if you're listening, but I mean, it's a complete homer pick. I was like, what do I care? It's a long snapper. Yeah. Like, I can't recall Hayes Hammond missing a long snap. There's not a long snap that he put one over the punter's head or the kicker's head. I don't recall.
Well, I think if you get on this level, like, and I'm not diminishing anything that they do because
they work hard.
I had Hayes in my countdown the other day, and I talked about him there. Just like nobody's going on NCAA to play with the long snapper.
No,
you know that's not like in a kid's dream. Like I want to snap.
Right.
But they are as important as just about anybody.
Well, I mean, they make a mistake, and everybody knows it.
But if you look at SEC guys, every team's long snapper, nobody knows that they hardly exist because they're so good. I mean, they do their job, and you don't notice them.
The guy that I picked second team ended up being the All-SEC long snapper.
I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this because I do every year.
Neyland Hibbett. Now, look, this is a guy from Alabama. He plays for Alabama. His name is Neyland.
He was selected.
But he's spelled K-N-E-E-L-A-N-D. Mm-hmm. Neyland. Ooh. What a name.
Okay. So. That guy was picked there. And I'm sure he's really good, but SEC media, we are very lazy. And I think there's even worse people than you and I. There are a lot more worse people. The people that can't even get credentialed at regular games that are walking around mouth breathers type. And literally mouth breathers. I turned around the other day.
Right, don't you?
I turned around the other day and I saw a guy that I know has not been credentialed because I've heard him talking to people about it before. Mm-hmm. And his mouth was wide open just sitting there just gasping for air. And these are the people that they just pick based on, you know, Alabama and this. They don't do any research on anybody else.
Second team long snapper was from South Carolina.
Yeah. Well.
And then third string was LSU. Yeah.
But this is why, like, I put very little stock in this. And I'm not even going to argue that much about State because we're going to talk about that. But the two picks for Vanderbilt every year. Mm-hmm. Put these people's names out there.
You don't even have
to see who it is.
You don't even have to put their names out there. Just stop credentialing. Yeah, stop sending them a ballot.
And that's not even being like discriminatory.
You can do it discreetly. You just say, look, hey, guys. You send them an email like, guys, if you're going to make a mockery of this process,
yeah,
then we're not.
Because you can't even objectively look at that and say, well, you know, they could see. No, Vanderbilt in no world in any year ever should be picked first to win the SEC. So if we're going to do that.
I would struggle with someone who picked them fifth, Robbie.
I would struggle with anybody picking them in the top 10 right now.
Yeah.
This is a team that they every year is, you know, if they win an SEC game, you know, we're all kind of a little surprised at this point. So if you're doing that, if you're going to allow these people to vote that are picking Vanderbilt first in the league, why are we going to make this poll a big deal?
Yeah.
Every year, you know, the SEC produces this poll like it's, you know, something to be proud of. And every year it says, Vanderbilt, two votes. I don't understand. I don't know why this continues to happen, but we don't need to make it a big deal anymore, in my opinion. I don't think the SEC media poll is that big of a deal from somebody that votes in it every year and somebody that's in the SEC media. I don't think that what this group of people, including myself, says truly matters preseason. Yeah. I mean, I don't know hardly anything about half of these teams. I couldn't sit here and tell you, you know, details about what I believe somebody's going to do from every team in the SEC. I'm just going to be honest about that. I haven't done enough research on that. My job is to cover Mississippi State and give you my thoughts on where they are preseason. I don't know who the second team long snapper is. I mean, what are we doing here?
So on that note, let's talk about these predictions here.
Let's have a 30-minute talk about, you know, why this thing matters, I guess.
Georgia predicted to win the SEC by a pretty large margin. The gap between Georgia and Texas was bigger than the gap between Mississippi State and Vanderbilt on the bottom.
Can I say that I don't think Texas is going to finish in the top two or three?
Mm-hmm. I can certainly say that, yeah.
I'm as we get closer, I'm starting to get kind of.
You're not buying the Texas.
I think Texas and Oklahoma are going to.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think they're both going to have a transitional period here.
I agree on Oklahoma, but Texas, I think, is ready. I think they're ready. We'll see. We'll see if you're right.
I mean, we're talking about a program that has been. I mean, if you look at it from the last 10 years, State and Texas are not that far off from a production standpoint. Now, they've been a lot better with Sarkisian.
Sarkisian is the difference there, yeah.
But
I get what you're saying, though.
I still don't know if they're ready to be a contender in this league.
Georgia first, Texas second, Alabama third. A little surprised by that. Ole Miss fourth.
I think Alabama's going to be better than Texas.
I mean, you could be right. They don't play each other. Ole Miss fourth, LSU fifth. That's surprising. Missouri sixth is surprising. Also surprising that Missouri did not get a single first-place vote, especially when Vanderbilt gets two. South Carolina got a first-place vote as well.
Well, they just, I don't, you know.
I can tell you, I bet I could guess the four Ole Miss first-place votes. But I could guess it without really straining.
Richard Cross, Michael Borg?
No, they wouldn't do that. I hope not. Anyway, Tennessee 7th, Oklahoma 8th, Texas A&M 9th, Auburn 10th, Kentucky 11th, Florida 12th, South Carolina 13th, Arkansas 14th, Mississippi State 15th, and then Vanderbilt last. I saw our friend Derek Cody complaining on Twitter about Oklahoma being picked, I guess that's 8th. And I just texted him. I was like, don't ask what I picked you. Because I had him 10th.
You have to realize this is not the Big
12. It's not the same. They're not as good.
And there's just not that, like, Oklahoma they dominated the Big 12. I think people were short-selling them a little bit.
I agree with that. We talked about that on the Sports Talk.
They own the Big 12 more than Texas did.
By like a 4-1 margin in terms of championships.
Yeah. So I think that people were short-selling them, but you have to realize, like...
But that was Bob Stoops and Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
It's not Brent Venables.
And there's just not that many soft spots on your schedule like you got in the Big 12.
Texas the last 2 years has lost to Arkansas, or lost to Alabama by two,
mm-hmm.
and then beaten them in Alabama. Yep. They have shown you they can do it, so that's why I give them a little.
They have, but you know, I think Bama played tougher competition week in and week out.
Oh, week in and week out, yeah. No question. But all I'm saying is that Texas has proven they can go toe-to-toe.
They're capable, yeah, for sure. They have the roster to do it.
Yeah. So State this year, you know, this has been the issue the past, I guess, 5 or 6 years, that when State has been poised to do something big, they haven't been able to do it. You know, the 18 season and last season. And so it's gotten to the point now with the Riders that State's going to have to overachieve 2 or 3, maybe 4 years in a row to get back in the idea of I can believe in Mississippi State a little bit.
And they've never really – I mean, even the years where you felt like they had a chance to have great years, mm-hmm. they were still middle of the pack.
Yeah, and looking ahead next year already, right, you know that you're playing Georgia and Texas and Tennessee at home. Yeah. And you'll go to, you know, what was it? Where are they going? Florida.
Florida.
Who should be better next year.
They'll host Ole Miss, too.
They'll host Ole Miss. Ole Miss, looking ahead to 2025, obviously Kiffin's going to work the portal, but right now Ole Miss has a ton of questions for 2025.
Yeah.
And then they'll go to Arkansas, A&M, Florida, and I'm leaving somebody out. Who's the other home game? Missouri.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still tough schedule.
They don't play Kentucky, do they?
They don't play Kentucky. I guess that'll be 2 years from now.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, if you want to try to predict State's 2026 schedule.
So Alabama and LSU.
Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Auburn, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss. There's eight. That's the eight. And if they play nine, they'll add somebody they've already played back in.
Yeah.
So
they just cycle. And they just cycle everybody else out except for your permanents.
Right, and you only have the one permanent right now.
Okay, so
I guess you have two.
Is that what they said?
They haven't said anything on that permanently.
State's other permanent is A&M, right?
I don't know. It could be Arkansas. I don't know. I know Ole Misses are LSU and State.
I thought Ross Dellinger reported that
was back when we were talking about pods.
Oh, okay.
But since that didn't happen, they have not officially said that you have. They haven't even said that you have permanents. I guess technically they could take the egg ball away. They certainly won't, but. If State was going to have a first-team All-SEC guy, if I put a gun to your head and said, you have to vote one player first-team.
Trigger about to be pulled.
I swear to God, I will spill your brains on the pavement if you don't vote one player first-team. Who would you pick?
I think it would probably be like Ethan Miner.
He was my second-team center.
You know, that's the guy that was the highest-rated center in the country,
mm-hmm.
from a, you know, that's Pro Football Focus, which is sometimes you look at it and you kind of question where are they getting their rankings from, how are they measuring this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but he, you know, he was a really good center for North Texas. He would probably be up there for me.
I might try to go potential and go
Kelly Okori. Yeah. It's definitely probably on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh,
yeah. And then I don't
like,
know.
I feel like I made Blanton as a homer pick, but I feel like here's the thing. Watson and Johnson last year had a combined 250 tackles, right?
Yeah.
Well, somebody's got to pick up some of that slack. It seems like he was a good choice to do that.
Well, shoot. I mean, you had two guys that led the league in tackles 2 years in a row,
yeah.
and they didn't get the benefit of the doubt most of the time.
Yeah. Watson got a little bit of it.
I mean,
Johnson didn't get much at all.
Jet
Johnson was not preseason All-SEC last year.
Nate Watson should have been the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, and yeah. everybody's...
He led the league in tackles and sacks.
If you put his stats up
you
against
got in trouble for that.
The Alabama guy, and there was no comparison. The only difference was he played for Alabama, and they were playing in the playoff, and Nate Watson's team won five games. That's the only difference. I don't trust anybody to give him the benefit of the doubt, even if he is leading the team or the SEC in tackles. I don't see an all-SEC like first or second team defender right now that I feel confident about. You know, we're just going to have to see that kind of transpire. But if you're talking about potential, and you know we've seen Jeff Lebby's offenses when he was with Lane Kiffin, we've seen them produce all-SEC guys. And obviously, Elijah Moore had the huge season in 2020. If Kelly Okori has a season similar to that, then he's going to be in position to do that too. And then, you know, maybe an offensive lineman as well. So, yeah, that would probably be my choices.
Trying to see if there's anything else that stands out from these predictions. From the Ole Miss perspective, if you want to look at that, two first-teamers on the offense, Trey Harris, Caden Priestcorn. I voted for both of them, first team. Second team, nobody. Third-team quarterback was Milrow. Surprised by that over Dart, Cook?
No, because Alabama.
Because the Alabama. You think it's just straight the Alabama presence at media days?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's so many of those people that, again, several of those people can't get credentials.
Yeah.
They don't get credentials. We've had to credential people to work for us at the Starkville Daily just so they can get in and cover a game. Like mm-hmm. they would like help me with coverage so they could get a credential because they couldn't get one normally. That's how it works at Alabama sometimes. So I mean, it is what it is. That's what you're dealing with at media days. You're dealing with And I struggle with the fact, is it important to go to this? You know, I this year it was definitely, I thought, important because I haven't had a chance to talk to Blake Shapen.
Yeah.
I wanted to get his thoughts on some things. And we get that that time period before they go into the big room where we can talk to them, not really one-on-one, but you're in a smaller setting, so you can get most of your questions in. I like that. I like the ability to ask who's standing out in workouts, what younger guys you really like. I talked to Blake Shapen about his relationship with the wide receivers, some of the receivers that he's really thought have stood out to this point. I talked to Albert Reese about workouts, some of the younger guys in the offensive line. I like that. And we talked to Jeff Lebby for like 15 minutes. So to me, it was definitely worth it this year to go. And I usually go, but a lot of times I'm just like, I hardly ever ask a question in the big room because I've already talked to them. And
The big room is not for us.
It's
the big room is for everybody else. The local breakout.
Coach talk about.
Yeah, the local coach breakout talk about is room. For us.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, with me, I get them down. You know, people ask, do you go to the – no, I don't, because they're coming to the table. I don't need
to.
So –
it's definitely worth it for the radio guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would say this, that we're in the content. You know, hold on. Let's do the ad break, and we'll come back to this.
Okay.
Let's move into the rest of the show. Let's talk to my friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Robbie, I've discovered a new cut. I cooked these yesterday.
Oh.
These beef flank and ribs. So, you know the dino ribs, remember what we had in Texas?
Yes. Big,
all right. So, imagine if they, like, take them and they, like, cut them lengthwise. So, you just got, like, these thin ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Grill them over direct heat. I made a little like Asian marinade for them.
Yeah,
and it takes, you know, it's hot cooking.
A little teriyaki.
Oh yeah, Asian. Kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. You got to cook them over the coals. Get a little char on them. They were delicious. So good.
Tender or kind of like?
Oh, they got a little chew, but they're so thin.
Yeah,
that, you know. And the only reason I noticed them, I wanted to cook that turkey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a turkey at Kroger, so I go to Walmart, which I am vehemently opposed to.
Yes.
I don't like Walmart. But they got a turkey, and I'm just sort of like looking at the meat counter, and I saw these.
Wait for another couple weeks, and you'll really hate it.
Oh, I know. And I go in there, I see these. I saw those. I was like, "Huh, I could cook those Saturday." So I did that with some fried rice and some broccoli. It was
nice,
great. But that's my point. I keep talking about it all the time. There's so many great cuts of beef available to you at the grocery store. You don't have to just get a ribeye, although you can. You don't have to just get a filet, although you should. There's a lot of great cuts available to you. Ask your butcher if you're not sure and put some beef on the grill next weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you're looking for. And you are looking for it. You want to go to Two Brothers. You want to enjoy that great food. You want to enjoy everything that's available to you there at Two Brothers or at the Older Brother, which is where I ate on Friday with my kids, my daughters. We really enjoyed it. They both love the Older Brother burger. That's their favorite burger.
Really good burger.
It's really, really good.
Double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
A lot of cheese.
Yeah.
Comeback sauce.
Yeah. And the burger is not just beef. It's beef and pork belly and bacon all ground together.
And I love that that sesame seed bun.
Oh, it's so classic. Yeah.
Yep.
I got the croque monsieur. That is my favorite sandwich on their menu. It is so good. And the fries, my daughter Emily had not been there yet. She's like, so are the fries good? And I was like, oh, these are. These are good fries. And she took one bite. She was like, you were right.
Yep.
So yeah, I am right. And you need to go eat there if you haven't already. So next time you're in the Cotton District, make a trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats or to the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and that's what they've been doing for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. 49 years of delivering service after the sale. 49 years of doing right by you. If you've got technology needs for your business, give them a call. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. And we're going to save you some money if you do that. But, again, new polos are a must. You've got to retire those band rims. Mississippi State's retiring it, so you need to do the same. So head to Maroon & Co., pick up a new State Script interlocking or M over S polo and wear that proudly to the game. And do it with a little extra cash in your pocket because of our promo code, THUNDER15. That's THUNDER15, regular price items, 15% off. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis Wade this fall, go to Maroon & Co. What I was going to say before is, you know, we're in the content business, right? So any opportunity we have to provide content for our customers, we should take advantage of it. We should not look at it in terms of, you know, it's a chore.
Now, is it a chore to drive or to fly to Dallas for that content? Yeah, maybe a little bit, right? But it's there for us there. So we need to take advantage of it. So I thought, I mean, we interviewed on our show, we interviewed every Ole Miss player and coach. We talked to Kiffin. So it was a short conversation, but it was there. I got to be in the room for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't speak. I was just filming. I think if he had not been there 2 days after the passing of his father, I might have tried to joke and engage with him a little bit, but he was obviously still very much grieving. So yeah. I just sort of let it go. I had a great idea. I wanted to do like a between two ferns with him.
Oh yeah,
where I just sort of sit there and look at him, and go, "So you guys are gonna be pretty good, huh?" And then he'd just be like, "Yeah, that's great." And to sort of see where we could take that, I think he might have gone for it if he had been in a better state emotionally. But, I mean, his father just passed away. He
might have got roasted like Paul Feinbaum did.
I think if I had come in with the self-awareness of, hey, we're doing a bit here.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been so bad. But, Feinbaum got what was coming to him on that one.
He had been harboring that.
And then on top of that, again, the man's father just passed away, and you're going to criticize. Look, I understand there's a time to be critical, and there are things to be critical.
What did he say? I didn't see the first part of it.
He basically, I'm trying to remember exactly what he said, but he was critical of him in a way that he didn't need to be in that moment. And, I mean, I understand being critical of Coach Kiffin, and I understand that there are times that he's done stuff, and certainly in his past. But Kiffin roasted him. He was like, you said this, and that's not true, and you said this, and that's not true, and you said this. Well, what are you ever right about?
Was it kind of weird to you that he wasn't in that group that we saw the other night at the restaurant?
Feinbaum?
Yeah. I kind of always thought he was in the same grouping as them. Yeah, and he was.
You got to think about that group, other than Sankey, there's a bunch of young guys in there. Like, when I say young, I mean between your age and my age.
But it was everybody. It was, like, producers. It was the on-air talent. It was just kind of like...
Yeah, when we were at the... we went to dinner at the steakhouse. Hold on. We're still cooking here.
Wow.
It's 157.
Are we getting an update after every
degree?
You know
what I'm going to say? Hold on.
Riveting. I can't.
What do you want me to do?
I love when we have these long pauses.
We're not pausing. I'm talking through it. Okay. We're good. We're good.
Okay.
The oven's off.
Okay.
All right. So, the little insight. We went out to, they had a nice, very nice steakhouse in the hotel. Great restaurant, but one thing we have to talk about. The carrot. Every steak came with a whole carrot. That I don't mean like obscure baby carrots. I mean a whole Bugs Bunny What's Up Doc carrot.
And like pickles that were in the process of
they were
the cucumber
they hadn't
that was
pickled
like
yet.
Sitting
in brine, yeah.
It was weird.
It was weird. But the carrot, I'm still thinking about the carrot. Like
the steak was excellent. Everything else was excellent.
My carrot was as long as my steak. It was really weird.
It was strange. But
the food was fantastic.
Yeah.
But
I'm still thinking about that peanut butter chocolate brownie.
And the bread pudding, too.
God.
But we got three desserts for the table. And Robbie is just killing this chocolate peanut butter brownie thing.
I had no interest in anything else.
It's me. And so Richard's brother was there. Really nice guy. Surprising, considering. And he and I are both like, Robbie, you need to try this bread pudding. And you're like, all right, I'll give it a try. He did the whole take a bite, and like he put the spoon in his mouth, and his eyes went,
I was like, fine, I'll take another one.
We were both like, yeah, see, it's good. So
it was after like 10 bites of the brownie.
Yeah. Anyway, the food was really good. But in the private banquet room was literally the SEC network.
Yes.
Joe Tess was in there, Dari Nokwa, Peter Burns, Cole, Jordan Rogers.
I wanted
Rogers
to ask Joe Tess so bad.
About WWE. I'm going to get Joe Tess on the show.
I'll get Joe Tess
on the show, and I'll make sure you're on when we do it. So we can talk a little football and then be like, all right, now the important stuff.
I want to hear him call a Hell in the Cell.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So anyway, they're all in there, and then Sankey's in there. And what's funny is I think at least three of them made the same joke when they passed our table, which was, oh, Richard's here, he's paying.
Yeah.
You know, I've turned cross money into a thing, which is just funny. But yeah, it was weird that Feinbaum wasn't there. So anyway,
he was like the only guy.
Yeah,
I think was
everybody else.
There.
I mean, was there? Laura Rutledge was in there.
Yeah.
Tom Hart wasn't there, but he wasn't at media days.
Yeah, right.
So that's not an issue.
Peter Burns.
Burns was in there. Yeah. So we talked to him. We talked to Cole. We talked to literally Andy Staples, J.D. Pickell, that was the first time to get to know him. Really great guy.
Awesome dude.
Fantastic. He's so mellow.
He was at Terry Black's too. Did you see him?
He was at Terry Black's. So was who else was there that we knew?
Peter Burns.
Now there's somebody else there. I can't remember who it was. You remember? There was somebody else. I was like, they're over there. Oh, it was Marty Smith.
It was Marty Smith, not Peter
Burns.
Did you
see Marty Smith's harem, by the way? So he was doing this thing, this promotional thing. You know, they named Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
So he was walking around Media Days on Wednesday with four stewardesses. Blonde, a brunette, a redhead, and like a black-haired lady. I mean, like all of them, like,
Were they actual stewardess?
I think so. I think they worked for Southwest, and I was like, it's the best job in the world.
They just picked the hottest ones. Like, we need to showcase this.
I think they did. So, the content was good, you know? And I'm never one of these people who's like, Media Days sucks, and we shouldn't do Media Days. And it's,
no, and I don't want to come across that way either. But, like, I do. Sometimes I'm just like, and from my point of view, like, is it worth it for me?
Yeah.
But I don't want to completely crap on it like
it's some
worthless.
Do.
I think that it is good for content. It's good to stack some things. And like you said, I mean, the radio standpoint and for our podcast, too, we got several things
got
on
a lot
there.
Of stuff here. There's a tweet here. It says, well, my fiance tells me my UAB dynasty isn't real and I have to clock into my 9 to 5 tomorrow. It's a picture of Tywin Lannister saying, careful now, girl. I enjoy you, but be careful.
Yes.
I can't wait for tomorrow's show. All in all, for Mississippi State, the moral from Media Days, I guess, would be this is going to be a year about getting back respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jeff Lebby, you know, he made a really good point that I liked it, which was that beyond just, you know, we've talked about qualitative versus quantitative and results this season. He said, beyond just wins and losses, I want Mississippi State fans at the end of the season to say, we've got the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was. That showed a level of self-awareness. Because I will tell you this. Let's say State goes 6-6, but they're only averaging like 27 points per game. And then like Hutzler, the defense is just a lot better than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But they're just not really that great offensively. I'm going to be questioning him at the end of the year. I'll be like, yeah. I don't know if this is going to work or not.
Yeah. You know, why are we just be excited about this guy when offense is literally – it's kind of the Joe Moorhead thing.
Yeah. The other thing I liked from Lebby was – when we talked to Shapen, and by the way, these interviews are available. The Lebby interview is available on the podcast feed. Mm-hmm. The Shapen interview is available on the Super Talk YouTube feed if you want to go back and look at that. I asked Shapen, I said, here's our situation. We just forced a turnover. We got the ball first and 10 on the 40, on the other team's 40. And I'm like, let's take a shot to the end zone here. What's our play call? And he did not hesitate. He's like, grenade right. I was like, all right, so talk me through it. So he talks me through the play. Then I get Lebby on. I was like, I want you to grade your QB here. And I said, I gave him the scenario, and I was like, he called grenade right, and he just smiled. He's like, great call. Call it again. And I was like, all right. So they're on the same page. I like that.
That, you know what's interesting about that is they had a very similar sequence on, I don't know if you've seen the Hard Knocks with the New York Giants.
I have not.
It is. Do you ever watch any of those? By the way,
I have not. No.
So good. I love them.
I need to watch.
So this one is like front office stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going through the off season. They're talking about what should they do. I mean, it's really cool to see the processes and hear the conversations. I mean, they're talking about, you know, we might have to get rid of Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we might have to shop him around. Like, what are we going to do here? And it's stuff like that. And they're at the NFL Combine. And they're bringing in, they had Jaden Daniels in there. They had Malik Nabers in there. I'm trying to think who else they had. They had, I forget. But basically, Brian Dabble, was that the?
Yeah.
He said, what's your favorite play? And Jaden Daniels was like, whatever. And he's like, draw it up for me. So like he draws it up or whatever, and he's like, all right, I want you to make this guy – the guy that you have right there, replace it with the X, this guy. Like, I like that. I want the quarterback to be able to, out of nowhere, be able to say, this is what I want to run. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do right here. And even, like, Dabble was even, like, he spat out this, like, long play call and told him to repeat it to him, and he repeated it right back to him. Like, your quarterback has to be the smartest guy on the team, pretty much.
Dart disappointed me. He wouldn't give the play call. He kind of described what they would do, but he wouldn't give the call. And Richard was just like, who's listening?
Right.
You know?
I mean, people know they know the plays that Kiffin's going to run, but it's still hard to stop.
Yeah.
That's when you know I have a good offense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to run right here? I'm still having success doing
That's the point of spacing and everything else that Levy does. So.
Yeah.
And that Kiffin does. So there we are. They didn't announce it, did they? But I believe camp starts on the 30th. Or at least that's when they report.
I don't know.
I don't think that they – I don't know if they made the official announcement. That's what I was sort of told off the record. I believe that was
I would love to get just one day. Can we just get one day where we can just watch a full practice?
Yeah.
I want to see who's working where.
Great tweet
that's
today.
All I need.
Great tweet from Jeff Schwartz, who covers the NFL. He was at the Chiefs practice. He was like, if the Chiefs can have a full open practice to media and fans, college teams can do it.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with injury reports.
Exactly.
Why is it off limits for college players, especially now that everybody's making money?
Yeah.
And not in the NFL, where that much money is on the line.
Exactly. So,
I just need one day where I can just say, okay, I know this person's working here. This guy's behind him. That's all I want to know.
Well, I didn't know that this show was going to turn into our field trip report, but that's what it became. But it's fine. I thought it was fun.
We had some good conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Tomorrow, we need to catch up opponent previews this week. We got to do two this week. We got to do Texas A&M and where's Mississippi State? And Georgia. So we'll get those this week. We'll try to get an interview, just a plain old college football interview if we can. Plus, we'll keep it up with the portal for Mississippi State baseball as players come in and out. We'll see if anybody else gets added to this roster between now and then. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.